Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and I'm sitting in the forest in the state of Idaho next to a river with Garrick Beck and Joni Freedom, and they are from the Rainbow family, and they are here at the exile camp, I think it's called. So we're just going to start right out by explaining to you what the Rainbow family is, because I assume a lot of people don't know. And let me say that Garrick Beck is from Santa Fe and Joni Freedom is from New York. So, and we are here in Idaho and I'm from California. So tell us, who wants to set the scene about the Rainbow family? I've just been at the gathering for the first time in my life, and there are many, 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 many people. It's very impressive. How long have you been doing this, Joni?
I went to my first Rainbow gathering in 1975 in Arkansas, and it was just I got there for cleanup, just got to meet a few people, really hadn't done a lot. The next one was in 1980 in West Virginia, and I've been coming pretty regular ever since. This is the 30th annual Rainbow Gathering of the Tribes, and this is in the Boise National Forest out here in Idaho, between Loman and Stanley, to set a scene of where it's at. And folks are coming in for the main focus, which is the silence to ask for continued peace on earth. And folks that come can meditate, pray, do whatever they will or wish to get the message out to the Creator that there are very good people on this earth that would like the life to go on and on and on, and for there to be peace here. Mm-hmm. So this calling for this spiritual gathering.
And the 4th of July, I might add.
Yeah, that's on the 4th of July. And the significance of that is just that most people have it off. There's no other significance to it. But the 4th of July is a time when thousands, we've had 18, 20,000 people sit in a circle, large circle, and just be in silence until the kids prayed, which comes at around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the joyous prayers and oming happen, and it turns into a great celebration of life. Perhaps Garrick would like to add a little more to this, set more of the scene.
Right. Yes, please.
Well, in this woodland encampment of 20 or so thousand people, there is exactly as Joni said, the centerpiece is a silence, like a nothing, like a big empty space where there's just clouds and wind and water moving and all of us sitting in what we call nature's cathedral. And that empty, quiet, vacant, still, tranquil, peaceful centerpiece is surrounded by all the hubbub of a human village. And in this human village, people of all shapes and sizes, styles and colors get to practice for a couple of weeks the art of living together outside of a hierarchical system of positions and officials, and outside the kind of hierarchical system that the money system imposes on everyone around the world. Here you are, and we're a non-commercial event. Food is free. You park your car for free. The entertainment is free. Medical care is free. And it's all done by people power, volunteering as individuals to make this example show that it is possible for people to get together and just on the basis of our goodwill, make an environment that's healthy and safe and happy and fun and beautiful, and to do this in a way that honors the earth, respects the plants, the animals, in such a way that we clean up afterwards and leave no trace behind us, as though this image of a city landed in the woods and was filled with joyous noise, laughter, music, dancing, celebrating, and in the center, this very, very quiet moment for giving thanks.
It really is very incredible. As I say, this is the first time I've ever been, and I'm just incredibly impressed by the warmth and inclusiveness of people and all the hard work that goes into it, of course, because when you get so many people together, you have to really pay attention to the sanitary facilities and the food and the water and purifying all of the water, for instance. And it's just really amazing how it all happens so quickly. How long have you been involved in rainbow gatherings, Gary?
I've come since 1972 at the first gathering, and I missed a couple of them along the way, but most of the last 30 years I've been coming. And my kids have grown up through these events. I think it's a wonderful place for young people to come and learn what I call community values, where you learn why is it that we take the trash and recycle it? Why is it that we scrub the big pots? Why is it that we volunteer to go out in the rain in the middle of the night with a flashlight and help guide those cars through the rock-strewn parking lot? And I think young people need to know that their work is valued, not just at a certain number of dollars per minute for selling some corporate's items or some corporate snacks or some corporate's clothing. What the young people are doing here for labor, they're doing to make their community shine. You look out there and you see young people carrying sacks of potatoes over mountain trails. Nobody's paying them. You look out there and you see young people digging holes in the forests for compost pits or gray water pits or the slit trench army style latrines we use. Nobody's paying these youngsters to do that work. They're doing it because it is a way for them to show respect and honor to the community that they're a part of that honors their efforts and their work and their participation. And somehow in the rest of society, that's missing. It's not there. And that's why we have so many of the societal troubles we have. And, you know, folks want to blame us for nudity because people are sunning themselves, or pot smoking because people are up on the mountainsides indulging. And we're really concerned in this society with behavior. If somebody is acting lewdly and aggressively lewdly, it's a problem. If somebody is acting violently or disruptively, it's a problem. And we don't care whether they're straight, stoned, or sober. Our care is, are they acting with kindness and gentility, or are they not? And it's a different paradigm. It's a different set of standards. And it spooks some of the authorities to see that there are other standards of right and wrong in society that could work. Mm-hmm. How many people at this gathering go to bed hungry at night? How many people in America go to bed hungry at night? That's an important question.
Well, I want to say that I've met a lot of different kinds of people in my short time at this gathering, and some of those people are homeless, some of them are on the road, some of them are professional. There's lots of kinds of people. But Joni, unless there's something you want to add right now, I think we'll start talking about how, even though a lot of people are enthusiastic about the gathering, sometimes the authorities are not so enthusiastic. And you, Joni Freedom, and Garrick Beck here are, you're at exile in this camp of exile. Maybe it's time to start explaining about what's going on politically. And I want to say to the audience that we met because we're both involved in the low-power micro-broadcasting movement. You're involved in Steal This Radio in New York, which is also a fight for rights, basically.
You're right.
And I'm involved also in Berkeley Liberation Radio. And so, anyway, go on.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the folks that come to a gathering are from all walks of life because we're a microcosm of the world. Everyone is invited. And so whoever comes, and we get everything here. In the process of this, it has scared the authorities to death. And they have propagated some rules and regulations upon the forest that make a gathering need a permit. The First Amendment states that we shall have freedom of assembly. The Forest Service says 74 of you can have freedom of assembly. A 75th person comes along and you have to get a group use permit, at which point you must delegate a leader or a representative to represent your group. And this person will, in other words, will then sign the permit in the name of the leader of this whatever you are. The gathering has no leaders. This is a popular assembly of people. It is a coming together of individuals because they feel the spirit and they come to feel and examine something amongst each other. There are no leaders. There's no organizational structure where, like a business or a corporation. So there's a process to Rainbow Gathering. The Rainbow Gathering itself has a way that it gets put on. If all the people that were at this gathering today were gone, and the young people that came, the older ones just didn't come anymore, because of the process and the way things happen, there would be a kitty village, a welcome home, a comm unit, all the different structure. The structure is there, and it just gets followed. So there is no need for a leader. This permit regulation requires a leader and a signature. In Pennsylvania, 1999, I came early. I was one of the folks who helped scout. We got the maps. We talked to the local rangers. We asked for topo maps. We asked for, what was going on here and there, where the best water was. When the incident command team of the Forest Service came in, which is the law enforcement end of that, came in, they said to the local rangers, we'd like a sworn statement of who you spoke to and who you believe are the organizers and the leaders. Well, an organizers or leaders are the 27 people who came and that just got there first and talked to the Forest Service, and those of us that talked more became in their minds the ones that they wanted. So I got on their most wanted list, on their A list, for a ticket. And I didn't want this ticket, so I just went into camp and stayed low. And the story is amazing, because they asked Garrick and Stephen Principal to come in and get us out of the gathering, to ticket us. And Garrick said, I'm not going into this gathering to pull people out so you can ticket them for peaceable assembly. You want them, you go in there. And the ranger said to Garrick, well, Mr. Beck, I guess we're going to ticket our B list. And Garrick said, well, who's that? And they said, you are, Mr. Beck. And they asked Stephen if he would be so kind as to take a ticket. And they got ticketed. And then they still came after me. On the 5th of July, I was ticketed. So the three of us had this, we went to court. We had to come back for a trial in October of 99. In March of 2000, Judge Maurice Cohill found us guilty of the high crime of use and occupancy of National Forest lands without previous permission. And we were each sentenced to 3 months in jail and $500 fines. We have been appealing this process. We've been in front of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and in December of 2000, they agreed unilaterally with the district court. And so we decided to take this further, and we now have a case pending in the United States Supreme Court. We are in exile camp because even though Judge Maurice Cohill never gave a court order saying we could not go on the gathering site, the Forest Service has taken it upon themselves to inform us if we are caught on the gathering site, we will be ticketed and arrested. We are out on our own recognizance. They could take that away. We're not sure what. So this is our second year in exile camp. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely exile camp. I mean, we're on a river. There's a hot springs up the road. There's nothing better than this. Right. But that's the process is why we're here.
And I will say, since I have been in the camp here, at the gathering, we actually ran into a roadblock. It's a very weird, it's never too nice to run into a roadblock, but it was strange when you're out on a country dirt road and there's all these police cars with their lights flashing and police all lined up standing next to each other. And I understand, I'm just talking about my particular personal experience a few days ago, but I understand this is pretty typical at gatherings, at Rainbow Family gatherings. Garrick.
Well, despite our long record of cleaning the forest up and our long, long record of nonviolent encampments, the incident command team is out there in force trying to intimidate people, trying to frighten people from coming, putting out terrifying rumors in the newspapers and their faxes and their public information reports. And they are out there on the road, shining lights into people's cars, being as bullying as they can be, ticketing people wholesale for hiking through the woods carrying equipment, ticketing people wholesale for parking at this event, and so on. Ticketing people for putting up the structures, putting up the nursery, putting up the kid village, building the ovens, and installing the water pipe. And part of the problem with this regulation the Forest Service built is that whoever comes forward to work with the Forest Service on resource protection, water protection, land protection, cleanup, rehabilitation, or good planning, those are the people who get ticketed. So nobody wants to come forward and work with them, because if you come forward as a good citizen to do good, you've suddenly got a ticket. Now, everybody before Joni and myself and Stephen who got ticketed, the court said, so you did this, you cleaned up, you took good care of the forest, you did something wrong, $50, $70, $100 fine. But in our case, they threw the bookshelf at us. And the judge said he wanted to make an example because he felt that the Rainbows were just taking these $50 and $100 fines with impunity and carrying on, which is exactly what we were doing. And frankly, that's what the crime's worth, $50 or $100. But to take 3 months out of a person's life, a good citizen's life, for doing nothing more than trying to cooperate with the government in a way with their resource people and with their law enforcement people and with their water and their wildlife biologists and their botanists and their hydrologists and their soil experts, trying to work with these people to develop good plans for parking, for roads, for where latrines go and so on. This citizen volunteer action is what triggers the ticketing. And the regulation they put in is a very confused regulation. It's a blunder. It's full of problems. And it amazes me that the protection of our First Amendment liberty of peaceable assembly has somehow fallen on our paisley and tie-dyed shoulders. I really felt the government had other things they were going to come after us about. Nudity, I mentioned, other things I mentioned. But they've come after us on this issue. And this is an issue that isn't just about the Rainbow's right to assemble in the national forest. It's about all citizens' rights for the next hundreds of years or the long-term future to assemble. The founders knew that the right of the people peaceably to assemble was a bulwark against tyranny, because vested in the people's activity was and is the true power, always. And to restrict the ability of the people to mass and discuss things with each other and exchange ideas is one of the things that that future tyrants might dream of, might pray for, that in a period like this, oh, blame it on those hippies. There's some of them panhandling in town. Yes, siree, they haven't washed in 2 weeks. They sure smell funny. Let's take their rights of assembly away because we can, and it lets us flex our government muscle. But it's really going down the tubes here. Is this incredible bulwark against totalitarianism and tyranny, which is the right of the public to assemble itself and communicate with itself. And now they have built this regulation to prevent that on the largest block of public lands, which is the National Forest System lands, 192 million acres. The National Forest System is larger than any single state. And this incident command team is a kind of FEMA-based organization, a multi-agency group that comes in and usurps the power through paperwork and gifting of lots of money to the county government, the state government, the National Forest regional government. The Unified Command comes in, and they have this multi-agency power, and it's really like a little practice for some secret government activities, and they could practice this nonsense, night vision goggles, spying on us, all kinds of intimidation, the roadblocks, the checkpoints, overhead flights, counting the cars, surveillance on the inside, undercover surveillance, and all this kind of stuff is practiced on us. And hey, we're the most open group in the world. Come on in, brother. Come on in, sister. We don't care what you look like or talk like or what you're wearing. Come in, sit in our circles, listen to us. Let us listen to you. Be part of our forums, our councils, our meetings. We're the easiest to infiltrate group in the world, and they are all over us. And it is a shame. This kind of behavior does not belong in a democratic society.
Sounds right. I wanted to say, too, when you were saying about paying fines and going, you know, continuing on, that sounds like what the big corporations do. They pay out fines and keep on polluting or whatever it is they're doing. So where exactly are things at right now, you say, in terms of the court?
Oh, in our court case? We were reviewed by the United States Supreme Court for hearing on the 14th of June. Their response on that day was we were pending. The following Thursday, we were pending again. And then this past Thursday, they left us pending. They closed down for the season. And they're moving over until October of next.
You had some kind of hearing here in Idaho, right? In Stanley? What, am I wrong? No.
No, no, we didn't. Not for our court case.
Oh, that was it. Something related?
That was somebody else that had applied for a permit as just a contact person, and the courts went against him on that. Our particular case, there's a case called Thomas versus Chicago City Parks that was granted cert petition. There's a possibility that we may be held until that's heard. That case has one of the issues on immediate judicial review that we also have in our cert petition. The case that just came up this, I think it was last Friday, was Barry Adams signed a permit as a contact person on Section 6, where the person who's going to sign the permit goes. He wrote, not applicable, please offer an alternative. And they said because he didn't sign there, they turned him down, and it wasn't an official permit. So the courts decided. He asked for immediate judicial review and got it, but they went against him.
Mm-hmm. So do you see this kind of harassment getting worse over the years in your experience, either of you?
This is worse. This is worse than it's been ever, is this year. After the Pennsylvania gathering, the following year, last year in Montana, three people were cited and got tickets, were also convicted to jail time and sentenced like us. In October of last year, they went to the Ocala regional gathering in Florida, and I believe there was over 60 tickets handed out mm-hmm. at that gathering by this incident command team. And here they are, they've handed out a lot of tickets. They're just racking in the money. They're charging people to come into a gathering that is a free assembly, mm-hmm. and a free and peaceable assembly that they have nothing to do with whatsoever. Every time they hand somebody a ticket and say, it's $100 to get in, this is an illegal assembly, and you have to go pay $100, the Forest Service has charged you to come to a free event. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. This is the worst it has ever been.
What about the issue of needing permits?
I would say this, that we've been as embroiled in the permit law as any group in United States history. If the United States Forest Service were to come up with a permit system that honored all of the pillars that the Supreme Court have said should be in place to uphold the First Amendment, we would get along with that really well. We have been to Washington, a number of us, on different occasions to discuss the drafting of future regulations. And we have given them all these wonderful ideas about operating plans, contact people, ways to make it work that wouldn't be offensive to our non-structured form of assembly. And they have gone in exactly the opposite direction and written regulations that they knew we would balk at in order to be able to turn around and say, see, they're not playing by the rules. They're illegal, and therefore put the entire event in the hands of law enforcement instead of resource and recreation, which is where it belongs. Mm-hmm. And this has to do with the power struggle in the Forest Service between the law enforcement and the resource and rec people in the Forest Service, and that is an untold story. There are forces that want to militarize the United States Forest Service, and there are forces that want to see the Forest Service be a great heritage resource for future generations. And we don't have a problem with a permit system that would meet the excellent standards the Supreme Court has.
We're moving things around here because this chipmunk keeps coming and running into the back. That's very funny.
The chipmunk is stealing my trail mix right out from next to me, and I'm trying to move things in front of my salty nut and raisin mix. The chipmunk is winning. The point is that we could live with a permit system that was an all-American style permit system, but they wrote this unbelievable Rube Goldberg device with whistles and bells and slips and slides and trap doors, and it's just impossible for us to cooperate with it. Mm-hmm. As a result, we're out here in exile camp hoping that our Supreme Court case will win, or hoping that we can reach some kind of compromise with the Forest Service in negotiations. We spent a lot of this last year on the side trying to negotiate with the Forest Service to come to some kind of happier accord, and the Forest Service has given us nothing, not an inch. And I don't know how to negotiate with that when they want everything exactly their way. They want to come in and torment and harass thousands of people with tickets. How do we play the good guy? How do we work hand in hand and hand in glove with people like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, this is very much in keeping with the general trends of the militarization and the growing police force all over the United States. Anybody want to comment?
I just want people to realize that this country had set aside these national forests as lands for the people of this country. Those lands are held in trust for us. And over the years to this point, within the last 8 years, the Forest Service has taken these lands from National Forest lands in trust for the people and put them into the National Forest Systems lands, which they control to be protected from the people. And that doesn't sound, it sounds like it's a land grab. Just mm-hmm. like that's happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. So just remember that if when you go on with your party of 75 people to celebrate Aunt Tilly's 86th birthday, you're going to need a permit and have a leader to do that. Yeah. And maybe it doesn't sound like much as, we'll just have Uncle Harry sign it. But think about it. That's another right that's being signed away.
Right. And it's an interesting tension between preserving wilderness and preserving wilderness, preserving the environment, and not trampling people's rights. That's kind of the major tension there, I would say.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So we don't have too much time left, just time for some real quick closing comments. And if you want to have any contacts, I know that since it's a leaderless movement, it's hard to even find a web page, but you can get some information there. And yes, it really yes. does seem to be leaderless, that's for sure.
We have a Rainbow Brother who maintains an unofficial Rainbow website, but pretty much everything you need's on it. It's www.welcomehome.org. And if you go there, you'll check it out, find other links to other Rainbow things around the world.
Oh, that's right. It's international, actually, right? The Rainbow family is international.
There were gatherings in about 40 countries in the last 4 or 5 years, and a lot in Eastern Europe, India, Australia. There was an Africa gathering this last week for the eclipse and the solstice. The full moon of August, there's a gathering in Croatia. And, I mean, in those countries, people really knew what oppression and what tough government was. And there they are, putting up with the rainbows and not asking for permits and not dragging people over a barrel like they are here in the United States of America. Last thing I want to say is, whatever the oppression, whatever the aggravation from the law enforcement and incident command team, there's 18 or 20,000 or however many people up there right now sharing, dancing, making joyful music, caring for their kids, seeing that nobody goes to bed hungry, and taking good care of the environment despite all the opposition. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. And this is July 3rd, 2001.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Joni Freedom and Garrick Beck, members of the informal Rainbow family.
I wouldn't exactly call us members, just individual participants.
Right. Excuse me, that's much too formalizing
human islands floating through time and space who happen to spin together at this gathering in the wild lands of Idaho. It's wonderful here talking to everybody. Come to the gathering when it comes near you.
Okay, thanks so much. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.